So if we recall to last Sunday's gospel, St. Matthew brought us with Jesus into the desert for those 40 days of temptation as a model for us in our time of this Lenten season to encounter those temptations as we learn to rely on the Word of God to set us free from the trappings of this world and the disillusionment of self-sufficiency so that we can rely fully on God. So that doesn't become too daunting for us. Every second Sunday, Mother Church allows us this glimpse into the Transfiguration to help us know where we're going, that it's not just a valley of tears and a life of drudgery and pain and penance, but all of that is for a reason. We're heading somewhere. And in a very real way, the season of Lent is primarily for our friends who are in the RCIA process. This is why Lent began, in this immediate, intense time of preparation, so that you know what's headed, what you're headed for. You're headed for the Transfiguration. You're headed for that Mount of Glory. As you leave behind the things of the past, as you wrestle with the devil out there and in here, and you can come to the new life promised us in Christ. As St. Paul says, that Jesus destroyed death and brought life. This is the goal of your journey. And those of us who are baptized, who are living, trying to live the life of discipleship, season of Lent is to help remind us of the promises that have been given to us, who help remind us of the promises that we have made to Jesus, to leave behind our formal way of life and to follow him to glory. This is the goal of all of our lives. So that what Peter, James, and John saw today is what's ready for us, what's promised to us. Because St. Peter, in one of his letters, he says that this isn't just some clever myth that we're following. We saw this with our own eyes. We saw the glory of God. And by the glory of God, by God's grace, we too can become partakers of the divine nature. What an amazing destiny God has for us, that we can become partakers of the divine nature. Where the early saints would have said that God became man so that man can become God. So our trip to the Mount of Transfiguration isn't just to go and to watch, but it's to go and become. Because that's what St. Paul said also in our letter today. First, he prepares us by saying, bear your share of hardship for the gospel. But with the strength that comes from God, not just a white knuckling, we do this on our own. But just before this part is that passage where he says, reminding Timothy to fan into flame the gift that he received. And that gift was not one of cowardice, but one of courage and of love. And don't be ashamed that you will have to suffer. Don't be ashamed that some of us are being persecuted, St. Paul says. St. Paul is in jail when he's writing this. Don't be ashamed that we don't have earthly glory. Bear your hardship. Why? Because God has saved us and called us to a holy life. So that's your vocation. That's the calling God has placed on each one of us. To lead a holy life. To become holy. To be set apart. To live a life of radical otherness from this world. And this is why the first reading gives us our great father in faith, Abraham. The Lord said to him, go forth from the land that you know to a land that I will show you. What a daunting challenge that is. Leave what's comfortable. Leave what you're used to. Leave what the way that's always been. And follow me to the land that I will show you. And if you do this, then you will receive. You will be a great nation. Your name will be great, and through you the whole world will be blessed. If you follow me to the unknown land. And this is the challenge as a disciple. That we can't craft our own path, and we aren't quite so certain exactly of the next step. But through our life of self-forgetfulness, our life of prayer and penance, fasting and almsgiving, like Peter, we learn to say, it's good that we are here. And where is here? In the presence of the living God. And so if I'm with you, Lord, I will go wherever you lead me, because it's good that I am here. And this is the beautiful witness of the people who are becoming Catholic and give us, that they have left what was comfortable. They have left the land that they're known, and they're coming to a land that they know not. And so they are a beautiful witness to us of what radical discipleship looks like. That some of us who get accustomed to this life of being a Catholic, this life of coming to Mass, of going through the motions, of just going through the assembly line of what comes next. I know it was the same last year. It will be the same next year. Let's just get it over with. Like Abraham, our friends are showing us how to blaze a new path as we follow Christ to that Mount of Transfiguration. And it's not something that just is given to us at the end of our life. And this is the joy of radical discipleship. That we can begin to live that transfigured life today. As we heard last week in the first reading of Original Sin, how sin disfigures the human person, God's grace transfigures us and restores us to that glory and brings us beyond that. But as St. Paul said at the beginning, we have to be willing to bear our hardships. In this valley of tears, as we struggle to carry our cross daily, to die to ourselves and our ideas of how things should be, and in the silence of our heart and the silence of our prayer, we learn to listen to the voice of God. The voice of God who has called us. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not according to our own works, but according to his own design. As we radically surrender to God's plan for our life, let it be said of each one of us, not only on the day we die, but every day of our life, may it be said of us what he said of Abraham, that he went as the Lord directed him. It is good that we are here.